2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to read a few verses there. Then we're going to go to Luke 14. And we'll wind up with Isaiah chapter 9. Lord, and there's so many things that come up. Keep us from taking the right road. I think one of the most difficult things to come into is to really have a revelation of how much you need a relationship with the Lord. It's the most important thing that a person can have. Whatever your likes are, whatever your loves are, whatever your life is about, none of those things will work more than a relationship with the Lord. We'll read a few verses here. Verse 7, to you who are troubled, so if you're troubled a little bit, this is for you. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. We think about that and we get this idea that one day in the future that the Lord is going to come out of heaven and is going to have an army of angels with him. And when that day comes, we'll be lifted out of our troubles. But that's not what it's saying. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel. That is happening now. You can go back to, the 5th chapter of Genesis where it speaks about Enoch and how he saw the presence of the Lord coming. And it's something that is happening. There's a coming of the Lord taking place now to anyone who is ready to receive him. I think it's Genesis chapter 5 along with Jude. In verse 14, and Enoch also, the 7th from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. That goes all the way back to that 5th chapter where it first speaks about Enoch. Enoch prophesied of the coming of the Lord. Well, how could he do that? Because he knew about it. So, it's when we become enlightened and understand that there's a presence of the Lord that's available right now for those who are ready to receive. I think most of Christianity believes that one day the Lord is going to return. There's a coming of the Lord that's taking place spiritually right now if we're able to receive it. 8, how does he come? And flaming fire. He's going to burn some things up. Taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now, you can say, well, there's a lot of people who don't know God. There's a lot of people that think they know God that don't know God, too. There's a lot of Christians, good Christians, that are doing quite well, but they don't know him in the sense that they need to know him. Do we? Do we know the Lord in the way that we should? I doubt it. But there's going to be a flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God to burn up that not knowing and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And in verse 10 is a verse that we use all the time. And it's most important to understand the Greek on this one. Because it says, when he shall come, That's futuristic, that one day he's going to come. No, and the Greek reads, whenever he comes. This coming that took place in the days of Enoch, his coming that took place in the days of Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of the others, and every one of the prophets, the minor prophets, Haggai, Joel, Amos, yeah, Micah, Habakkuk, all those, they all spoke of the coming of the Lord. So, whenever he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So, he's coming to be glorified in his saints. And who is this? Who are the saints? The saints are the ones that have some awareness of what's happening, that the time of his coming is already taking place, and they participate in it and receive him. Verse 11 and 12. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Then verse 12, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to be glorified in you, and he wants us to be glorified in him. All right, a couple of verses from Luke chapter 14. These may be a little difficult to connect, but it requires some understanding. Luke 14, beginning with verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Verse 26. If any man come to me. And now the Greek word for come there is erchomai, and it means coming. It's a continual, a word that speaks of continuation. If any man is coming to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now that's difficult. That's family members. His father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brother, sisters, even his own life. If he doesn't hate them, he cannot be my disciple. But it's important to understand exactly how the Greek of this verse is presented. Let me put it this way. It's unless you love the Lord more. If you love him more, then you love the others less. But I shouldn't love them less. Well, the way that you love family members most is when your greatest love is for the Lord. That don't sound right. Well, regardless of how it sounds, it's fact. The more you love the Lord, the more you're going to care about your family. For 50 years, I've been running around the country ministering the gospel of the kingdom. And the one thing that I have found that it hinders more people than anything else in keeping them out of the kingdom and keeping them from having the relationship with God that they need is family. It happens. I remember when I opened my heart and I became dead serious about my relationship with the Lord and being what I'm supposed to be, I got more problems from my mother than I did from anybody else. it got to her so much that one day she told me, I hate you, because I wasn't doing it her way. Sometimes, I don't know why, I guess it's because people are going to be more open to that kind of battle. That Satan, he will come through the people that you love the most to destroy what you're getting from God, to keep you from reaching your destination and your place. And that's what Jesus is talking about here when he says, if any man come unto me and hates not his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, in other words, even these people that you care about, you can't let them stop you from serving the Lord and from loving Him most. 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross, now that's a cross, and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's about as plain as the nose on your face. Whoever does not bear his cross, what is the cross? It's what you're going to die on. There's a dying that has to take place. So, you have to bear the cross and come after him. And without that, you cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? So there's a great cost in having a proper relationship with the Lord. And it would be wise to count the costs. Isaiah 9. You'll have to find a way to connect these together. But these three verses was on my heart. I said, I'm going to use them. Isaiah 9, beginning with verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now more correctly from the Greek reads, for into us a child is born, into us a son is given. So when you first come to the Lord, he's going to come forth in you, but he's just a baby, just like a woman bearing a son. It has to grow. And so you're in a pretty much a babyhood state. Your awareness of the Lord and your awareness of the things of the Lord are all in that child state. And that's where we are until we grow up. So into us a child is born. That's the first step. And then that child that is into us has to become a son. Now, you notice that the son there is capitalized. In the scriptures, a son is one that is fully mature. So, a son always represents maturity. Into us a child is born. Into us a son is given. The Son of God come forth in us. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. What government is that? The government, all the things that have ruled over your life, all the things that have controlled you, are going to be relegated, and the time comes that you're going to learn to be under the government of God. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. In you, he's going to carry the weight. And his name shall be called Wonderful. So, this is like the first step after the Lord comes forth in you as a babe. And as you grow and you begin to know him as the Son, and then the day comes when you're going to know him as Wonderful. might sound odd, but there's a lot of Christians today that have not come to the place where they understand and do know the Lord is wonderful. It's a special place that you come to realize, man, He's wonderful. Mm-hmm. When something is wonderful, it has a greater control over your life. So that's a phase that we must come to. As Christ becomes greater in us, we learn to know Him as wonderful. Then the next step beyond that is to know Him as Counselor. When He becomes wonderful to you, then you're more likely to be able to receive counsel from Him, that He can explain to you what your life is all about and lead you into greater realms of the kingdom. There's more than one. And the next phase after that is the Mighty God. So you learn to know Him as wonderful. Then you learn to know Him as your Counselor, the one that leads you, guides you, teaches you. And then you begin to know, oh, He's the Mighty God. People tend to throw the name of God around and use it in ways that there's no possible way that you can understand that He is the Mighty God to them. He is a Mighty God. To come to that place to know Him as such. But then there's a step beyond that, and that's to learn to know Him as the Everlasting Father. When you know Him as Everlasting Father, you will also know Him, know that you are His Everlasting Son. And then the next step is the Prince of Peace. We haven't had a whole lot of peace, but it's the zenith that you come to as you go through each one of these steps. And then verse 7 says, of the increase of His government and peace, there should be no end. So you go through all these phases and these steps, making progress in the Lord. And then you learn that the increase of His government and His peace are not going to end, but a continual increase. Upon the throne of David, upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. How does all this happen? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it lighted upon Israel. So how do these steps and this progress take place? Well, the Lord sends a word, and it lights upon you, and it changes you, changes your nature. Changes the way you think, changes the way you act, changes the way you believe in what you know. The Lord sends a word into Jacob, and every one of us have been a Jacob, and it lights upon the new Israel.